This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, honored and privileged that you are tuning in today, whether you're listening in on the radio, on stewardship.com, or on iTunes. We are very thankful that this community called Chris Brown's True Stewardship ended up being just a great community over the last year. So thank you for listening in. This is a call-in show. It's a free call at 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. Or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That email address again, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. So we are taking your calls today. Just to give you a little bit of a heads up, that tomorrow we will have a special guest on the show. We will have the one and only Rachel Cruz, New York Times bestselling author, Rachel Cruz. She's going to be talking about her new work that's coming out in October. So make sure you tune in for that. And later on in this show, we're going to be talking a little bit about what do we do when the decision that's in front of us, it's not a decision that's between right and wrong, not a decision between biblical and not biblical. It's just two things, and it's not necessarily right or wrong. There's not really a scripture for it. How do we make those kind of decisions? So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show, kind of wherever it fits, and we'll make sure that we address that. So again, thanks for tuning in, 866-357-3283, and it looks like this first call is coming in from, I don't say this very well, Amarillo, Texas. This is Jessica. Jessica, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a pleasure to speak to you, Chris.
Yeah, pleasure to talk to you. How can I serve you?
My husband and I are diligently working on paying off our house. And our house is worth about $250,000, and we only have about $45,000 left to pay on it. And we've only been here for about 3 years. So we're just really going nuts trying to pay this house off quickly.
I can tell.
Yeah. My question, we have two decently nice cars, and we don't put many miles on our vehicles at all, like maybe 5,000 miles a year. So I'm wondering, would it be beneficial to sell our lower mileage vehicles and trade them for higher mileage vehicles and then use the difference to help pay off our house?
Wow, and 5,000 miles a year?
Yes, it's not much.
You guys work out of the house?
My husband does.
That is awesome. What's your income?
About $90,000 a year.
Okay, and how long do you think it is going to be at the current pace to pay off the house?
We're thinking somewhere between a year and 18 months.
Okay.
If we don't sell anything.
Okay, what's the value of the cars?
One of them is worth about $13,000, and then the truck is worth about $22,000.
So let's just play it out. If you were to downgrade from $13,000 and $22,000 to something like $10,000 and $10,000,
mm-hmm,
that would give you about, $15,000 to put towards your house. So instead of $45,000 being left on the house, you'd have $30,000 left on the house. How much quicker does that make you pay off the house? You go from 12 to 18 months to what? What does that do for you?
It would knock it down quite a bit, and it would also get it paid off quicker selling our vehicles.
Yeah.
But probably less than my guess is probably 9 months.
It would shave off 9 months?
Probably so.
Or shave it to 9 months?
Well, if it was 18 months to begin with, it would probably knock it down to about 9 months.
Okay. Huh. Well, I think the big thing for me here is that you drive them so little, so why would you have that money tied up if you're not really appreciating the value that it brought, the difference between a $22,000 car and a $10,000 car, you're never really appreciating that money. Like, you're never even in it. So it's just kind of money that's sitting out there. So that would be the thing. That's the big variable on this one. So listeners, if you're listening in, you're putting yourself in this scenario. I think the 5,000 miles a year is a big variable. Do you have too much car for $90,000 a year? No. Golden rule that I have is if you add up all your cars together, they shouldn't average anything more than half of your annual income. So you could justify, especially with no debt, and being in such a great place, and baby step number six, paying off your house, you could totally justify up to $45,000 in cars if you wanted to. That's not what I would do, but it's just a golden rule there for car lovers. So that would be, I would say, yeah, I would lean towards it. If it was just going to shave off like a month or like 2 months, I wouldn't say it's worth it. But to have that feeling of like, I have no debt at all, and for that to be shaved off 9 months, and then to think 9 months from now, 270 days, is that right? I'm doing the math real quick. Yeah. Like, you could be done. That is amazing. So I like it. I wouldn't go much less than that. I don't think you need to be putting up with non-dependable cars. They need to stay dependable. For me, I've got two $10,000 cars, and they're very dependable. So that's kind of my threshold. Once you get below that, if you're making considerable money, I don't think there's any need to go less than that. But if you want to, that's fine. I mean, I drove a $300 car in high school, and it got me all the way through high school. Never had any problems. So you can do whatever you want there. So what do you think you're going to do?
I'm not sure. We're thinking maybe we could just sell one and keep the other, but we're thinking maybe we need a minivan because we've got little kids. So there's just lots of things to throw up there.
Yeah. I do know that Ron Blue told me one time, we were walking out of a restaurant, and he leaned over to me and he said, hey, the cheapest car that you'll ever own is the one you have. And of course, he was talking about upgrading. But just know the reason why he was saying that is to even do a transition between cars, there's money being spent. Because you're paying for taxes and insurance and registration and all that stuff all over again. So
right.
If you just downgrade $1,000, it ain't going to be enough. So make sure make sure it's considerable.
That makes sense. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks for the call.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Picture this. You have a great job and plenty of money and savings, but you're afraid to take the leap into home ownership. What should you do? Rent or buy? Well, the fact is, buying a home sets you up for building wealth. So if it's a reasonable expense in your budget, you're better off buying. Talk to my friends at Churchill Mortgage to help you build a smarter plan today. Call 855-LOAN-200 or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal housing lender. 761 Old Hickory Boulevard, Brentwood, Tennessee 37027.
You are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I am your host, Chris Brown. And I've been working on something that I think could be very helpful to you all. And it's called the steward's approach. It's when it's not obvious. It's like, do I get out of debt? Well, yes, the Bible's very clear in Proverbs 22:7 that the borrower is enslaved to the lender. But sometimes it's not that clear. Do we downgrade? Do we not? Is it a good stewardship decision? Is it not? I don't know. There's not a clear-cut verse for that. There's not verses. There's not a passage. There's not a book in the Bible. Jesus didn't talk about it. Minivan or SUV, right? So here's some things that you can write down, okay? And I'm just going to talk about them real quickly because I know we've got lots of calls lined up. But number one is connect to the source. The steward's approach, you want to connect to the source. You can't love something. You can't love the owner until you know the owner. How do you do that? Well, you've got to pray. You've got to read. You've got to sing to him. You got to praise him. You got to write. You got to journal. You got to listen to him. You got to be in community that involves him. You got to say yes to when he tells you to do something. That's how you connect to the source. You got to learn how you connect best, and then you got to connect to the source. And what do you do when you do hear him? Okay, what do you do when you do? Okay, you got to obey. Number two, consider the real question. What is the real question? A lot of times you guys call in, you give me this false dichotomy, your A decision or your B decision, but your A and B decision, it might need a C, D, and E. It's not just, if I do A or B, there's other options out there. I think about my wife. If she buys an expensive dress and she says, you know, and I get upset about it, like, well, that wasn't the right timing for that expensive dress. And she says, what do you want me to do? You want me to walk around with no clothes? No. Listen, there's more options than that, folks. It's not that expensive dress and not wearing clothes. There's a land in between. And sometimes you guys give us a false dichotomy. Number three, contemplate all your options. Okay, you've got other options out there. What are the pros? What are the cons? How is it going to affect you financially? How is it going to affect you relationally, emotionally? What's the domino effect going to be? What's the short term? What's the long term? You got to think through all that. Okay. Then you got to confiscate all obstacles to wisdom. Okay. Is there any justifications that you have? Any biasness? Any things with your background or your childhood? What parties are involved? Okay. Are you currently tired? Are you feeling impatient? Are you feeling annoyed, irritated, grouchy? What's the temperature when you're making the decision? Are you really, really hot? Are you freezing? Are you in a hurry? Are you cramped? Think about that. Confiscate all obstacles to wisdom. Then you've got to comprehend the truth, okay? This is for all decisions when there is a truth in the scriptures about the topic. Psalm 119:11, thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What does God say about the subject? But when there isn't anything, there's no specific truth for a decision, you next got to go to considering your goals. Where are you headed? What are you going after? And we saw in that last call with Jessica, she knows what her goal is. And so she's weighing this decision up against her goal. Her goal is to pay off that house as soon as possible. So she's going to make a decision that lines up with the truth, okay, and with her goals. Then you got to complete it. You got to complete the truth with grace. You got to apply it. Okay. And however you apply it, if it's a relational thing, you got to make sure you apply grace with the truth, but you've got to apply it. And then lastly, you want to commemorate God's movement. You want to journal how God blessed you because of your obedience. It's a steward's approach to decision making because not always is there a clear cut verse or scripture about a decision. Sometimes it's one of those things where you're like, I don't know how God views this. And so you pray and you listen, but at the end of the day, you might not get an answer and you still got to make a decision. So weigh it up against your goals and apply the truth. Got an email here from Brent says, hey, I previously took a 401k loan out and I would like to pay it off early. I have a small pension sitting in an account currently not doing anything. The plan was canceled by my employer. Would you recommend me cashing that out to help pay off the balance? Also, if you'd recommend that, would this withdrawal be subject to taxes? Thank you for your perspective. The 401k loan equals $3,200. The pension is $2,400. And I would say yes, I would as a steward because here's the reasons, folks. Okay, it's not always the answer is not always yes, but for this situation, it is. Because of one lack of return. You said it's not doing anything. Matthew 25:14-30, parable of the talents requires that we that we're good stewards and we get an appropriate return on our investment, whether it's time or talents or resources. Another reason is lack of diversification. Okay, all that money's tied up into a pension. That's into one company. Ecclesiastes 11:2 talks about diversifying. So I like this. You're going back to the 401k and filling that thing back up because the 401k is diversified. The pension's not. And because we need to not have any debt and you've got a loan out. Proverbs 22:7 and Romans 13:8 talk about not having any debt. So that's the reason why. However, listeners, it's not wise to ever pull from a 401k, from a 403b, from a 457 or an IRA to pay down consumer debt. Don't do that. Maybe stop contributing. Definitely stop contributing, but do not pull from retirement. The cost is too high, and we foundationally are not looking for a bailout, but hard work. Very good question, Brent. Well, you know, one of the biggest traps in our lives is comparison. I've struggled with it throughout my life in ministry and with money. I know how dangerous it is. In fact, Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. That's why I recommend Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. Rachel focuses on the damaging money habit of comparison and walks you through solutions to comparison living. She unpacks six other healthy money habits for living the life that we really want without being buried under debt, stress, and worry. Are you tired of trying to keep up with the Joneses and ready to put that time and energy into living the life that you want? Love Your Life, Not Theirs will show you just how. If you go to stewardship.com, this new book is available for pre-order in a special offer that includes over $70 of free bonus items for, get this, just $20. Again, this offer with Rachel's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, is available to pre-order right now at stewardship.com.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Well, folks, we are taking your calls. The number's 866-357-3283. I am your host, Chris Brown, and we are honored that you are tuning in. We've got a phone call that's lined up here from Delaware. This is Elaine. Elaine, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm honored. How can I help?
Well, my husband and I have a little bit of a difference of opinion, and so I was just looking for some input. I would like to take some money from my retirement and put it into the purchase of a beach condo. We live in a coastal area. Well, we're about an hour from the beach.
Okay.
And I have a son who wants to lifeguard at the beach next summer, and an 18-year-old daughter who also wants to work at the beach because you'd make a lot more money working there than where we live. And we're a beach family. We all love the beach. We go quite a bit. So I would really, we're debt-free, sort of. No consumer debt. We have a mortgage left, and my husband has a private practice 4 years from paying off the mortgage on the office building. But having that said, we do have that 18-year-old and 16-year-old who we're planning on cash flowing their college expenses. So my daughter's already ready to start. She's going to be at a private institution. So it's probably about $17,000 a year. And, you know, I for the last 4 years, she's been at a private school. So 4 years ago, I started working. I have a full-time job, but I started working a part-time job to cover the expenses for that. So I make about $16,000 myself, and I've done in my regular job with working extra the last 4 years, I make about $40,000 on top of that. So I gross about $100,000, and my husband brings home $1,500 a week, but that doesn't include, he maximizes his retirement account, and also from that is the money that goes towards paying for the office. So is that a crazy idea, or is that something that you think would be doable?
So $1,500 a week, what is that, about $80,000?
Because he's self-employed, like we try to, well, yeah, that's what he brings home a week. That's what we'll... until the office is paid off in 4 years, then he'll start bringing about $1,000 more a month because we won't have the office to pay off. Some of that will go back into the practice, but I would say about $1,000 more.
Elaine, do you have any savings?
Well, my husband has a pretty large retirement account. I stayed home with the kids for a while. I've only been back recently. So I have maybe, I have like $40,000 in a Roth. And then I would say maybe 70 total in mutual funds and things like that. We only have about $20,000 in savings, and then my husband has maybe $600,000 in retirement that we wouldn't touch.
And you said your primary is not paid off?
No, we have 172 left on that. We probably have about 250 in equity.
Okay. Well, I foundationally don't think that you should have a second home until the first one's paid off, which is great because you guys got this, you got a good income. You could possibly pay off that primary quickly. Have you ever thought about making the beach your primary? You got kids going to college.
Yes, we have actually, but it's about an hour away, and my husband, he's a family physician, and he has hospital privileges that keep him tied to about 30 minutes. You have a 30-minute kind of leash to the hospital.
Gotcha.
So we had considered that and just really love the area where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Looking between, like, there's no place I'd rather live between here and the beach other than being either at the beach or where we are now, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's typically the way it is. That 45 minutes before you get to the coast is usually pretty rough. It's not. It's either rough or abandoned.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. I would encourage you to not do it until you finish you pay off your primary, and I wouldn't do it until you can do it with cash. And I would definitely check out ChrisHogan360.com because there's a free what we call RIQ, which is your Retire Inspired Quotient. It tells you how much money you need to have in retirement to be able to live whatever your desired lifestyle is after retirement. And, you know, you can kind of calculate the date you want to retire. So I think right now the conversation between you and your husband needs to be, what does retirement look like? Let's make sure we're on the same page and what it looks like when it happens. And let's begin to dream in high definition of what retirement looks like and start putting together a plan on how we can get there. Because I think you're having a residential conversation. And I think if you have the retirement conversation, the residential decision is going to come to light and it's going to be a little bit more obvious to both of you. But you got to be able to first agree on where you're headed and what that looks like before you ever agree on the decision on the residential.
Okay. My kids are not going to be happy with that. They really want to go to the beach. But we're very conservative. I don't want to be overstressed. So even if we did that purchase and made it a rental purchase so that it's paid for itself, would that be a possibility?
No, just from the standpoint of risk and leverage. And I just don't think that would be a wise decision.
Okay.
But I think your first step is just to ask yourselves, you're going to look at two things. One, retirement. What does that look like? And number two, look at margin in your life. And the question you do want to stay away from is, can we afford the payment? Stay away from that question, because that question gets so many people in trouble. And that is not a good question to ask anybody. So that's why, you know, 88% of America is living paycheck to paycheck or worse. Because they keep asking that question, can I afford the payment? And yeah, their whole entire life is obligated to payments, and all those dollars are obligated to payments instead of having an opportunity for the future.
And that makes a lot of sense. It sounds like how I have been doing it, and that's why I had to take the second job because, I feel like even though we make good salaries, I felt like we were always paycheck to paycheck. So.
Right, right. Okay. Well, Elaine, I want to go one step further with you, and I want to give you a free Financial Peace University. For you and your family. So just stay on the line.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm
Thank
just going to give it to you. It's a lot of content, and it'll fully explain the mentality and the processing that goes behind the decision I just made. So stay on the line, and we're going to invest in your family, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Got an email here from Adam. It says, Chris, I'm in baby step two and have just one $19,000 car loan to pay off. I'll have this done in October of 2017, but it sometimes is discouraging seeing that balance so high and not dwindling down as fast as my other debts. Can you please offer some words of encouragement to get me through the discouraging times? Thank you so much for all you do, and congrats on the 3 million downloads. Well, thanks, Adam. Way to go. You know, one more left. I got to tell you, obviously you've been kicking some tail. Way to go. You know, I'm not sure, Adam, if you're upside down on this car, but if I were you, if you can't get this thing paid off by the end of the year, which I believe you can, with some hard work and some sacrifice, I would find a way out of the car. I would sell that thing or pay it off quicker, way quicker than next October. So that would be my filter. If you can't pay it off by the end of the year, you need to just sell it. Proverbs 6:5 says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. So if you picture yourself as a gazelle, I know it's kind of weird, but you're looking into the barrel of a gun. A hunter is hunting you. What are you going to do? You are going to flat out run. You're going to go. You're just going to absolutely bail as fast as possible. That's the way you need to run away from this car. So if you can't pay it off by the end of the year, you need to free yourself like a gazelle. Remember that vision that you have, Adam. What is it you're running after? Get that vision white hot right in front of you. And then realize that debt, like Chris Hogan says, debt is vision quicksand. And so right now that car is weighing you down. It's sucking you in. You're not reaching your vision. So make that vision white hot and get rid of that car. Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in today and each day here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you've missed any of the last week's broadcast due to vacation or just, you know, real life busyness, remember that we also have the iTunes podcast that can be listened to on demand, can be subscribed to. You can listen to it whenever it's convenient for you. And of course, we encourage you to always be taking advantage of all the helpful content located at stewardship.com. Don't forget, there at stewardship.com, you can pre-order Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. You'll get the book and $70 worth of free bonus items for just $20. That's right. I hook you up here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Well, folks, it's been a pleasure. Please know that our team is praying for you and we're cheering you on. God bless.